This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 15th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. Here is my comment about the recent impeachment verdict by the United States Senate. It is a quote from Robert F. Kennedy, a man whose life and work I greatly admire. This is an excerpt from RFK's Day of Affirmation speech given at the University of Cape Town, South Africa, on June 6th, 1966, 2 years to the day he was shot and killed in Los Angeles. Every time we turn our heads the other way when we see the law flouted, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we are too busy or frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom, decency, and justice. My CBOT building 16th floor neighbor Blair Hull is the guest on a podcast called Risk of Ruin, and the episode is titled From Blackjack to Black Monday. You can hear the podcast with a link in today's newsletter. In case you're not in Chicago, it has been rather cold and snowy here lately. How cold and snowy? Well, according to WGN meteorologist Mark Carroll, the average temperature in Chicago from February 5th to 14th is 7.8 degrees. That is the fourth coldest of all February 5th to 14th periods since 1871. The last time the Feb 5 to 14 period has been colder was 122 years ago in 1899. The 21.1 inches of snow in Chicago since January 25th make the January 25th to February 14th period the third snowiest on the books since the 1884 to 85 snow season. The last time a January 25th to February 14th period has been snowier in Chicago was 1978, 43 years ago. And with 11 inches or more snow on the ground over the past 15 consecutive days, this has tied for the fifth longest consecutive stretch of 11 inches or greater snow cover on the books. The last time we had more snow in a row with 11 inches or more on the ground for more than 15 days was 2001. Then just for fun, the forecast calls for 8 to 12 inches of snow in some Chicago locations in the next 2 days. Chicago is not the only cold and snowy location. Bloomberg is reporting that cold weather has cut Permian oil production, oil produced in the Texas and New Mexico area, by 1 million barrels a day. The coldest weather in 30 years has led to a combination of well shutdowns, flow line outages, and disrupted road transport. Moving to things hot, Japan's Nikkei 225 has exceeded the 30,000 yen level for the first time since 1980. Your crypto thought of the day is, if Bitcoin was worth stealing when it was between $300,000 and $20,000, how much more is it worth stealing now that it is near $50,000? Maybe it's time to double-check your wallet security. On Tuesday, I'm moderating a panel discussion for the DePaul Arditi Center on securing risk/finance internship or career. We are recording the panel on Zoom for play at a later date. This is a first for me. As the Vice President for Development of the Pathway to Adventure Council, I helped put in place a new policy for the Friends of Scouting program, whereby the scout units get to keep 10% of the money raised if their units hit their goal, which is just $50 per registered scout in the unit. This gives units the incentives to make the FOS program work for the council and for the units. RSM's Adam Spence is the latest to give to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Adam is a financial services tax manager at RSM and worked under the revered Harlan Tempest. Thank you to Adam and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are some more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video in the Path to Electronic Trading series, this one of Errol Paquette. Bar chart executive reflects on the changes in quote technology that fueled development of electronic trading. We also have a new video, The Spread, a penny stock for your thoughts. This week on The Spread, the CME announces the launch of new volatility benchmark indices, Amsterdam's trading volume surpasses London's, and more. Don't forget to register for Boca Virtual at FIA.org. Here is a story from Bloomberg. 2021 is a tipping point for female leaders, female-led countries like New Zealand, Germany, Finland, Iceland, Denmark, Norway, and Taiwan have fared better during COVID-19. Will 2021 be the year that leadership becomes feminine? As the year begins, there are more female leaders than ever before. In the U.S., about a quarter of the legislature is female. Kamala Harris just became the first woman vice president. Half of the Biden-Harris administration's cabinet is female. Another first, women leaders are making gains in business as well. For the first time in history, all S&P 500 firms have at least one female board member. The number of women CEOs in the S&P 500 hit an all-time high, though only still 7.8%, at the end of 2020. My comment, this makes me happier that we have Kamala Harris as our vice president more than ever. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Speculative traders add billions to meme stocks at new records. Pot stocks, microcaps, trendy technologies all see big moves. Record equity inflows show extreme levels of bullish sentiment. In a quiet week by 2021 standards, the speculative excesses that have defined this bull market hit new records with little fanfare. Wild trades from penny stocks and meme cryptocurrencies to cannabis companies surged to all-time highs. U.S. equity indices rose anew, and skeptics on everything rally found more reasons to fret over market froth. My comment, it's not unusual for pot stocks to hit new highs. Here's a story from CNN Business. French workers can now eat lunch at their desks without breaking the law. Many French workers can now eat at their desk without breaking the law. To help curb the spread of COVID-19, the company has suspended a long-standing prohibition on desk lunches, according to a government decree published Sunday. My comment, I've been breaking the law for my entire career. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Bill Gates has a master plan for battling climate change. The co-founder of Microsoft became obsessed with developing clean tech through his philanthropic work with a new book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster, and a cadre of billionaire partners. He now has an action plan for ending the world's carbon dependency. A day before the inauguration, as Lady Gaga rehearsed the Star-Spangled Banner in Washington, D.C., wildfires burned in Sonoma, Santa Cruz, and Ventura counties in California, shocking climatologists who had never witnessed the state's fire season extend into January. NASA had just announced that 2020 tied with 2016 for the warmest year on record. As the COVID-19 pandemic drove city dwellers to search for places that felt surer, safer, Vermont, Kansas, Idaho, the FBI began arresting Americans who had rioted in the U.S. Capitol. Online sales of prepper gear, gas masks, food preservation kits were brisk. I can't wait for Master Plan XP. Here is the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Art's top story Friday was Introducing D-Limit, Heated Conversation Part 1 from IEX via YouTube. Second was Crane Chicago Business. Illinois bids for NYSE Data Hub. The door may be open to a bigger move. Third was Bloomberg's City of London's Brexit tab rises with stock and swaps moves. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 16th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. The DePaul University Arditi Center for Risk Management's annual risk conference virtual event will be on February 23rd, 2021 from 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. The event starts with a market overview by Jeff James, the lead portfolio manager at Dryhouse Capital Management and a DePaul MBA. The first panel is the one I am moderating, Securing a Risk/Finance Internship or Career. The panelists are Bhavan Joseph, president of the Greenwood Project, Troy Kane, Citadel Securities, and Mike Dennis, COO at ABN AMRO. The second panel discussion is titled Managing Organizational Risk in a Work-from-Home Environment. On the panel are Michael Phillip, CISO at VSEC, adjunct professor at DePaul University, and he's the moderator, Allie Brennan, head of CQG, Lamont Black, associate professor, DePaul University, Bob Fitzsimmons, executive vice president at Wedbush Securities, and Nancy Kearney, Allstate Insurance vice president, head of operational risk. Panel 3 is titled Managing Market Risk for 2021. On the panel is Suzanne Sprague, CME Group's moderator for this, Sunil Catino, president of CME Clearinghouse, Max Heitner, head of risk, Dryhouse Capital Management, and Dave Zarowski, head of market risk at KRM22. Finally, there's a keynote question and answer address by Dr. Richard Sandor, chairman, American Financial Exchange. You can register for the event with a link in today's newsletter. Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing Limited held a virtual Lunar New Year market opening ceremony this morning, Tuesday, hosted by Hong Kong Exchange's Chairman Laura M. Cha and Interim Chief Executive Calvin Tay to mark its first trading day of the Year of the Ox. The good people at Goldman Sachs are offering its investment know-how to the masses. They are about to unveil Marcus Invest, a robo-advisory wealth management platform. The American Bar Association Derivatives and Futures Law Committee Innovation Digital Products and Processes Subcommittee Jurisdiction Working Group has published a paper titled Digital and Digitized Assets, Federal and State Jurisdictional Issues. K&L Gates was one of the firms that contributed to the paper. A sure sign of March has arrived with McDonald's iconic Shamrock Shake and Oreo Shamrock McFlurry being available in stores now. We had no new donations to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. We've had 125 donors so far, including a couple who did not use the GoFundMe app. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Here are some more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Don't forget to register for FIA Boca V for virtual. Register at www.fia.org. Here's a press release from Mondo Visioni. Survey finds support from derivatives markets for payment for order flow ban in the U.S. Almost half of the respondents to a monthly Acuity Derivatives Insight survey have backed a ban on payment for order flow in the U.S. markets, with 29% saying it should not be banned. This is an interesting result. Why would it be so popular? Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. In the long run, stocks really do go up. Returns for most investors squirreling money away over a period of years are clearly positive. In the long term, stocks mostly go up. That single piece of advice has formed the core of many trillions of dollars of investment decisions, but it isn't without detractors. One of the counter-arguments sometimes cited is Japan. The Nikkei 225 hit the 30,000 mark for the first time in three decades this week, but it still hasn't reached its 1989 zenith. I can't run very far, so long run is a challenge. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. Goldman Sachs to offer its investing know-how to the masses. Elite Wall Street firm is set to unveil Marcus Invest, a robo-advisory wealth management platform. You used to need at least $10 million in investable assets to draw the attention of wealth managers at Goldman Sachs Group. Now all it takes is $1,000 and a smartphone. The Wall Street firm on Tuesday is set to unveil Marcus Invest, a low-cost digital platform that allocates and automatically rebalances individuals' wealth across portfolios of stocks and bonds based on the models developed by the firm's investment strategy committee. My comment, maybe my long run has hope. Here is a story from the Anchorage Daily News. One Alaska king salmon is worth the same as two barrels of oil right now. Seafood sales are on fire in America's supermarkets, and one king salmon from Southeast Alaska is worth the same as two barrels of oil. That's $116.16 for a troll-caught Chinook salmon averaging 11 pounds at the docks versus $115.48 for two barrels of oil at $57.74 per barrel on February 3rd. My comment, the king salmon is only worth half that. Here are your top three most read stories from Monday's JLN. Our top story Monday was Reddit day traders wanted to beat Wall Street to prove the system is rigged. Instead, they did it by losing, from Yahoo News. Second was Are leveraged Gen Z traders the next systemic risk, from the Financial Times. Third was Clear crypto rules urgently needed as major companies embrace asset, SEC official, from Yahoo Finance. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary on stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 17th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Tom Thompson of John Lothian News. NFL calls time out on ErisX's NFL binary options. The National Football League asked the CFTC to delay any approval of ErisX's proposed binary option contracts, quote, pending a more comprehensive study, unquote, of whether the contracts would be used for hedging and whether users of the contract might be breaking federal law by risking money on football spread betting across state lines. The NFL was reacting on the record to ErisX certification of three contracts that would settle to the results of NFL games. ErisX operates cryptocurrency spot and futures markets as well as a futures clearing organization. It lists deliverable futures contracts on Bitcoin and Ether. In December last year, the exchange said it wanted to offer contracts on the winner of professional football games, the final point spread, and the total number of points scored in weekly NFL games. To find the rest of this story, look for it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Michael Kranis is out as president of Trading Technologies, and Farley Owens is in the role, TT announced in a press release. Also, Roger Mills is in as Chief Financial Officer. Guy Scott is EVP, Global Head of Sales. And Bharat Mittal is Chief Technology Officer. For now, Tim Giannopoulos, the Chairman and CEO of TT, has his team in place to sell the firm or to take it to the next level themselves. The NFA wants you to know that if any members located in the U.S. are having issues regarding filings or their operations due to recent winter storms and other severe weather issues, you can contact NFA's Information Center by calling 312-781-1410 or 1-800-621-3570 or emailing information@nfafutures.org. At least 21 people have died from the extreme cold weather hitting the southern U.S., the New York Post reported. Today's lesson is to say something nice about someone and good things can happen. I called Harlan Tempest revered here in JLN, and presto! The revered Harlan Tempest is the latest to give to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Harlan is a veteran lawyer and CPA who was my business accountant when I first started John J. Lothian & Company, Inc. He never charged me a dime for the work he did, and he shared his years of scouting wisdom with me during each of our yearly meetings. Several years ago, Harlan suffered a heart attack and a stroke the very same week. He is now retired from RSM, but is remembered well by all who worked with him or who were clients of his. He was the inspiration for the Harlan Tempest Award given to scouts who earned 5 merit badges in the Trading Tech Merit Badge Workshop program I created with the Pathway to Adventure Council. He is an inspiration to all. Thank you to Harlan and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. A favorite Harlan story, one time a client of his called in to the IRS about the return. The return was only half signed by Harlan, with only his first name. He had evidently been interrupted while signing the return and did not complete it. When asked about the form, the customer noticed the half signature. The customer started to say something about it, and the IRS agent said, "No worries, we know who Harlan is." Here is something from Suzanne Cosgrove. In a bid to attract retail investors who tend to trade smaller-sized orders, CBOE Global Markets Tuesday said it plans to activate its electronic crossing auction functionality, known as AIM, for orders of up to 10 S&P 500 index options and S&P 500 index weekly options contracts on the CBOE Options Exchange, which is CBOE's largest options pit. Worth noting, options order size has been trending smaller over the past year, and currently more than 30% of the volume in the SPX options trades in orders of between 1 and 20 contracts. Ariane Crickey, CBOE's head of derivatives and global client services, said in a statement that the AIM function will complement open outcry using during regular trading hours. It's slated to begin Monday, February 22nd. More details are available in today's newsletter on johnlothiannews.com. Pan Exchange, refusing to be bullied by other entities in the industrial hemp space, is announcing this morning that it has kicked off a crowdfunding campaign to help pay legal costs as it is harassed by New Leaf Data Services and New Leaf Capital Partners for using the term benchmarks in its monthly Pan Exchange Hemp Benchmarks and Analysis. New Leaf claims that its own use of hempbenchmarks.com in 2018 is infringed by the title of Pan Exchange's report. You can read more about the crowdfunding campaign with a link in today's newsletter, Tom Thompson reported. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Don't forget to sign up for Boca V. The Boca event is virtual this year, and you can sign up for it at www.fia.org. Here's the press release from Trading Technologies. Trading Technologies appoints new president, chief financial officer, EVP global head of sales, and chief technology officer. New executive appointments further strengthen company for continued global growth and expansion. Trading Technologies International, a global provider of high-performance professional trading software, infrastructure, and data solutions, today announced the promotion of 4 executive leaders in the organization. Farley Owens is now president. Roger Mills is chief financial officer. Guy Scott is EVP, head of sales. And Bharat Mittal is chief technology officer. Farley, Roger, and Guy and Bharat are longstanding leaders who have proven themselves to our customers, shareholders, and employees. In their new roles, they will continue to bring keen domain expertise and experience as we forge ahead with our goals of growth and expansion. As President, Farley Owens will oversee the day-to-day operations of the company, specifically driving the execution of the company's objectives to fuel growth. Previously, he served as head of product marketing and EVP product management and marketing. Now, former TT President Michael Krennis has left for another opportunity. Tim G has his team together without the former investment banker. Here is a story from GARP. New momentum for Ameribor benchmark follows Citi's market-making move. Regional banks look to gain a hedging tool in the LIBOR transition as dealers eye an opportunity. Citi's decision to join the American Financial Exchange and make markets in Ameribor-based derivatives brought the upstart exchange long-sought affirmation from a major Wall Street player. More are likely to follow, bolstering this U.S. alternative to the LIBOR benchmark, though it may not result in a quick ramp-up in Ameribor usage. My comment, there are lots of smiling faces over at the AFX. Here is a story from Martin Wolf of the Financial Times. Vaccinating the world is a test of our ability to cooperate. It is also a trial of our enlightened self-interest and will need G20 leadership to succeed. Is it possible to tackle a global pandemic in a world marked by huge inequalities of wealth and power? The answer might tell us how the world will address the far more complex challenge of climate change. What we have learned from the COVID-19 so far is that the world has shown more cooperation than many might have expected. Even so, given that we are all in this together, it has not been enough. My comment, we have defeated evil before. We can do it again. Here is a story from James Haggerty of the Wall Street Journal. Robert Glauber probed causes of 1987 stock market crash. Harvard professor who died at the age of 81 also helped craft SNL bailout as Treasury official. Robert R. Glauber, a Harvard professor who investigated the causes of the 1987 stock market crash and helped shape federal legislation bailing out the savings and loan industry, died Saturday at his home in Brookline, Massachusetts. He was 81 and had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer last year. My comment, condolences to the family, friends, and colleagues. Here is a story from Bloomberg. At 93, she waged war on J.P. Morgan and her own grandsons. Beverly Schottenstein said two grandsons who managed her money at J.P. Morgan forged documents, ran up commissions with inappropriate trading, and made her miss tens of millions of dollars in gains. So she decided to teach them all a lesson. Beverly Schottenstein was 93 years old when she decided to go to war with the biggest bank in the U.S. It was a June day, and the Atlantic shimmered beyond the balcony of her Florida condominium. Beverly studied an independent review of her accounts as family and lawyers gathered around a table and listened by phone. The document confirmed her worst fears. Her two financial advisors at J.P. Morgan Chase, who oversaw more than $80 million for her, had rung up big commissions, putting her money in risky investments they weren't telling her about. It was the latest red flag about the bankers. There had been missing account statements, document shredding, unexplained credit card charges. My comment, don't mess with this old lady. Here are the top three most read stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday was the link to the registration for DePaul University's Arditti Center for Risk Management's annual risk conference, which takes place virtually on February 23rd. John Lothian, that's me, is the moderator of the first panel. Second was Bloomberg's How Extreme Cold Turned into a U.S. Energy Crisis. Third was the Wall Street Journal's Goldman Sachs to offer its investing know-how to the masses. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 18th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with this story from Suzanne Cosgrove of John Lothian News. Options basics for newbies. Mind your Greeks, professor says. The well-documented influx of new retail traders into equities and options on equities in 2020 and 2021 has boosted derivatives volume, but it also has unleashed traders who may not be prepared for the high rates of volatility if and when the market falters. In an interview with JLN, finance professor Edward Zotto urged novice traders to learn the ins and outs of options trading and investing before they dive into the market. The first step before trading a single option is to go to the free websites of the OCC and the OIC, the Options Industry Council, and learn more about it, he said. Zotto, who teaches finance at Providence College in Rhode Island, is also a research director for the Institute for Global Asset and Risk Management, INGARM, an educational foundation. Options are fabulous, but there are so many characteristics that you need to know about them, he said. You need to understand their non-linear nature and the Greeks, which are ways to measure the factors that impact option prices, particularly delta and gamma, he said. To read the rest of this story, find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the stories and the comments from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Have you registered for Boca V yet? The virtual nature of the conference gives you a unique opportunity to participate in one of the most meaningful conferences in the derivatives business. I always learn a lot from attending Boca, and I encourage you to sign up for this year's virtual conference. Here is the latest report from Acuity titled The Market Data Review. They say the widespread commercialization of market data over the past decade has become a major cause of concern for market participants and regulators alike. But what are the realistic solutions and how can the market for market data be put on a more sustainable path? The report is not free. There is a link for it in today's newsletter. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago and their Financial Markets Group has an opening for a financial markets analyst. You can see the job listing in today's newsletter. I'm in the process of sending out invoices for the John Lothian newsletter. The policy of this company is that if you find the newsletter valuable, you are asked to pay for it. If you have more than one person at your firm reading it, we believe you find it valuable and will send you an invoice. If you regularly open the newsletter and read it, we believe you find it valuable and we will send you an invoice. There are some exceptions to this policy. We give the newsletter away to retired people, students, college professors, and fellow journalists. So if we send you an invoice and you fit in one of those categories, let us know and we will void the invoice. If you wish to receive an invoice for your 2021 subscription, please email me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Please support the Pan Exchange GoFundMe campaign to help them fight a trademark lawsuit. There were no new donations to the JLN MarketsWiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Remember to register for Boca V. Here is a story from the STA, the Securities Traders Association, authored by Jim Toews. A conversation with industry stalwarts Richard Grasso and Harvey Pitt. Over the past 3 weeks, STA has received significant input from a broad range of market participants with respect to a letter we submitted to the House Financial Services Committee just ahead of its virtual hearings on market volatility we experienced in late January and early February. The title of the hearing is GameStop: Who Wins and Who Loses When Short Sellers, Social Media, and Retail Investors Collide. And the CEOs of Robinhood, Citadel, Melvin Capital, and Reddit will be among the witnesses. My comment, I can think of more interesting people to talk to. Here is a story from the Wall Street Journal. North Korea turning to cryptocurrency schemes in global heist, U.S. says. Justice Department charges North Koreans hackers in wide-ranging scheme that include attempts to steal $1.3 billion for Pyongyang. The Justice Department unsealed an indictment Wednesday against two alleged members of North Korea's military intelligence services, accusing them of hacking banks and companies in more than a dozen countries, including in the U.S., as part of a wide-ranging scheme to steal $1.3 billion over the past half decade for Pyongyang. A comment from Matt Rabel. The North Korean government has had an interest in using cryptocurrency for a number of purposes for a while now. In April of 2019, an American hacker named Virgil Griffith traveled to Pyongyang to give a talk about how to use cryptocurrency to bypass international sanctions. He was arrested on Thanksgiving later that year. Here is another story from the Wall Street Journal. What the Hunger Games Three Finger Salute means to protesters across Asia, borrowed from literary and film series and popularized by Thai protesters in 2014. The gesture has become a prominent symbol against this month's coup in Myanmar. As protests against a February 1st military coup have gripped Myanmar, one symbol has emerged as an icon, the three-finger salute. Civil servants on strike, student protesters, and even refugees living abroad have made the gesture in a show of defiance. The sign has an unlikely origin story, popularized in the wake of a different coup in 2014 in neighboring Thailand. Protesters there borrowed it from the literary and film series The Hunger Games, in which it is shown as a symbol for a fictional uprising against tyrannical overlords. Images of popular activist Ritpong Mayapech flashing the sign at a busy Bangkok intersection against the backdrop of a pedestrian overpass crowded with soldiers went viral just over a week after the Thai cruise. My comment, who knew giving the scout sign could be so popular and dangerous all at once? Here is a story from Fox 5 New York. 9 out of 10 of New York City restaurants could not afford rent in December. A new report from the New York City Hospitality Alliance shows the extreme financial problems restaurants in New York City are facing, as 92% of the city's restaurants could not afford to pay their rent in December. The number has steadily worsened throughout the pandemic, from 80% of the restaurants in June 2020 not being able to pay rent. My comment, remember to order in more often. We need the restaurants when we can return to being with each other. Here are your top three most read stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our top story Wednesday was Trading Technologies announcement. Trading Technologies appoints new president, chief financial officer, EVP, global head of sales, and chief technology officer. Farley Owens, TT's new president, was also our MarketsWiki page of the day. Second was Bloomberg's at 93. She waged a war on JP Morgan and her own grandsons. Third was John Lothian News. NFL calls timeout on ErisX NFL binary options, from Tom Thompson. This is John Lothian with the daily update of commentary and stories from the first read section of the John Lothian newsletter for February 19th, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with a story from Tom Thompson of John Lothian News. The title is, No Virginia, There Is No Santa Claus, He Was Demutualized. If you're like me, someone who has never bought even a single datum, let alone multiple subscriptions with multiple vendors, Acuity's newest report on market data makes a fascinating reading. The most amazing thing in the whole report was the statement on page 7. Over two-thirds of bank respondents reported their data fees to be in excess of $250,000 per month. I spent 30 of my pre-muckraking years working for global derivatives exchanges. For many of those years, we heard complaints from our members and customers that data fees were eating them alive, but I had no idea that fees were rising to such levels. Of course, part of the rise in the reported level of data charges to the banks results from the concentration of banks and brokerages. But more than $250,000 per month? Wow! Some data are still free for the public, and a little more data are free on exchange members' trading screens. But even members will pay up for microsecond depth of book indications. To read the rest of this commentary, find it on johnlothiannews.com. Here are the comments and stories from the hits and takes section of today's JLN. Don't miss the AFM virtual panel discussion, Technology Innovation, on February 26, 2021 at 1300 to 1400 CET. The panel will explore the impact that COVID has led on the technology that market professionals have previously taken for granted. Is it ahead of the game or has it lagged behind compared to the products developed for the retail market? Has technology enabled a wider product set to be taken to the market either by markets directly or through the input of ISVs and other significant connectivity providers? Will 2021 see any truly innovative market developments that have taken advantage of the advances that have been made in the use and availability of technology? The multi-talented Clive Furness of Contango Markets UK will moderate, and the panelists include Louis John Banthis, STT South Africa, Mauricio Edward Perez y Souza, Plantagrio, Mexico, Pat Kenny, CQG, Martin Bain, Venner Technologies, Michael Gatney, Connemara, and a representative of Metbarifex. For registration, please send an email to conference@afmorg.net. The World Federation of Exchanges issued a report, Full Year 2020 Market Highlights. The report offers the first opportunity to study the impact of the events of 2020 on markets holistically and looks across market capitalization, listed companies, IPOs, volumes, and value traded in multiple asset classes, including equities, derivatives, futures, options, and ETFs. Gary Jones posted on LinkedIn a paper by John R. Bryson, professor of enterprise and economic geography at the University of Birmingham, titled London Continued Future as a Global Financial Center. Andre Capon, Leon Bitten, Ricardo Angulo of the CBM Group, New York, New York, have published a commentary titled Derivatives Exchanges in Emerging Markets, Key Success Factors. I did not understand yesterday at the congressional hearings about the GameStop issues that John Wick testified. Vlad Tenev looks a lot like Keanu Reeves in a black suit and tie and white shirt. I really liked the congressman yesterday who could not pronounce Citadel correctly and read an unanswerable question to Ken Griffin. When asked to clarify the question, the congressman just read the question again, which utterly showed he had no idea of the inanity of what he was asking. Some Texans are using their 2021 Ford F-150 trucks to power their homes during the storm-induced power outages. The trucks come with a very handy portable generator function. John Sottergreen, the publisher of Scudder Publishing Group and managing editor of Enelis, is the latest to give to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign. Scudder Publishing is home to The Desk, a widely circulated weekly digital newsletter, and its companion publication, Early View. Scudder is a leading energy news and information publishing company founded in 1997. I have a lot of respect for the work John does, and given the problems of the southern U.S. right now around energy, John's company's work is that much more important. Thank you to John and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by donating to our GoFundMe campaign. Rana Forahar, an associate editor of the Financial Times and Global Business columnist, is joining the lineup of keynote speakers at this year's virtual FIA conference, Boca V. She is expected to speak about the shifts occurring in globalization, the political economy, and the digital economy, and offer analysis of emerging markets, women in the workplace, education, and the disruption of big tech. To register for Boca V, go to FIA.org. Also, the 2021 Options Conference has announced two of their keynote speakers for the conference, which takes place virtually from Monday, 28-29-2021. SEC Acting Chair Allison Lee will be the keynote speaker for the day one of the conference. The keynote speaker for day two will be Randall Quarles, Vice Chair for Supervision, Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System. You can find out more about the conference and register with a link in today's newsletter. Suzanne Cosgrove reported, people in Bermuda will soon be able to buy rum with digital currency. Canadian fintech firm Bidali and Bermuda Rum Company Goslings Limited have announced a new pilot program allowing customers to buy rum with Bermuda's digital dollar. Goslings will accept digital Bermuda dollars through the Stellar Network, and the first phase of the project will reportedly be coordinated by Canadian and Bermudan tech consultant Penrose Partners. Bermuda seems to be quickly becoming a hub of digital asset businesses. This puts Miami International Holdings, or MIH, the holding company for MIAX, in a fairly advantageous position if they planned to get more into digital assets. MIH acquired a controlling stake in the Bermuda Stock Exchange in November 2019 and then 100% ownership last December. Both press releases announcing the moves touted Bermuda's blockchain-friendly laws like the Digital Asset Business Act of 2018. BSX and MIH also launched the Hashdex NASDAQ Crypto Index ETF last September. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Don't forget to register for Boca V. Go to www.fia.org to register. Here is a press release from the FIA. FIA endorses industry-led climate finance principles. FIA President and CEO Walt Lucan today made the following statement on the release of the Pan Trade Financial Industry Association Statement of Principles financing a U.S. transition to a sustainable low-carbon economy. Climate change poses real risk to financial stability and our global economy. These risks include direct financial risks from extreme weather, as well as the transition risks associated with fundamental changes in how the world does business. FIA endorses today's principles and commits to working with companies, other trade organizations, and governments to address the pressing need of climate change. My comment, timely statement given the events in the southern U.S. and their weather problems. Here is a story from the Financial Times penned by Bill Gates. Bill Gates, my green manifesto. The billionaire philanthropist offers four bold ideas to help business take on climate crisis. In the conversations I have about climate change, one question comes up more than any other. How can I help? Sometimes it's an individual who simply wants to know whether to stop buying plastic straws. Answer, it doesn't do much for climate change, but it does help the environment in other ways. Just as often, though, the question comes from someone working on a larger scale. For example, a chief executive who wants to know, what can my company do that will really make a difference? My comment? I don't like the word manifesto. It reminds me of the Unabomber. Here is another press release from the FIA. FIA highlights CCP margin pro-cyclicality concerns to European regulators. FIA today presented to the European Securities and Markets Authority, or ESMA, on the issues experienced in the spring of 2020 when high volatility and pro-cyclicality of margin requirements were experienced in the global clearing system. During this period, the high number and the large number of margin calls drove demand for liquid assets just as those assets were scarce due to market stresses. Such a drive for liquid assets can contribute to the stress in the financial system. FIA's presentation consisted of an analysis of data on margin requirements at several major derivatives clearinghouses, and it contained a set of recommendations aimed at mitigating the pro-cyclicality of margin requirements. FIA first issued these recommendations in a white paper. My comment, the word of the day is pro-cyclicality. Here is a press release from the New York Stock Exchange. SPAC growth, sector, and trends. SPACs are the talk of the town, but until 2 years ago, few investors were even familiar with the term, special purpose acquisition company, even though SPACs, sometimes thought of as blank check companies, have been around since the 1990s. So what exactly is a SPAC? It's an entity formed via a capital raising on the NYSE or other exchange. The entity is formed by sponsors with particular expertise for specific purpose of merging an existing, typically late stage private company. The private company is not known to the SPAC investors or the SPAC sponsors at the time of the IPO. The SPAC typically has 2 years to find a merger candidate or it is liquidated. In the meantime, the funds raised by the SPAC generate interest in an account. The event of the merger between the SPAC and the private company essentially makes the private company public, so that company needs to be ready for the requirements associated with being a listed entity. My comment, NYSE, offering some help to explain SPAC. Here are your top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Bloomberg's The Real Battle for the City of London. Second was John Lothian News, Option Basics for Newbies. Mind Your Greeks, Professor Says, from Suzanne Cosgrove. Third was a repeat. Trading Technologies appoints new President, Chief Financial Officer, EVP, Global Head of Sales, and Chief Technology Officer. Your Crypto Markets Wiki Coin of the Week is Bitcoin. Bitcoin began trading at a price exceeding $50,000 per Bitcoin this week for the first time ever, though some analysts, including strategist Nicholas Panagritsoglou from JP Morgan and Megan Hsu from Wilmington Trust, say this price won't last. Here are your Markets Wiki statistics of the day. The site now has 200,789,768 pages viewed. There are 25,424 pages on the site. There have been 230,478 edits. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.